Kerbos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Chagiga daf Chav Gimel, good Erev Shabbos. We are three lines up here on Chav Beis Mavais, and we're in the middle of going through these 11 differences between Truma and Kodesh that the Mishnah has delineated, and that Chazal were more machmir by Kodshim than Truma, or at least something that is on the level of Kodesh, as opposed to Tahor, on the level of Truma. And one of them we just said, again, one of the Mishnah, not we just said, but one of them in the Mishnah was, Hanoseis Hamidras, Noseis a Truma, Avalos a Kodesh. Again, if you remember, someone who's carrying something that's Tamei Midras, let's say a shoe, is allowed to carry Truma in his other hand, but not Kodesh. The Gemara says, Kodesh my time alone, right? What's the difference, right? If we're concerned that things are going to get Tamei, so what's the difference between Kodeshim, right, Kodesh and Truma? So Mishum Maisa Shahaya, because there's a story that happened. Right, Damar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel Maisa Be'echad Shaya Mavri Chavis Shal Yayin Kodesh. That guy was carrying a barrel of wine that was on the level that was Kodesh, as belonged to Hekdesh. For use for Kachin, whatever it is. Mimakom no Makom, he was carrying from one place to another. Venifsika Ratsua Shal Sandlo. Right, and his sure enough, his shoe strap fell off. Venutla, and he started carrying it. Veinicha al pia chavis, and he kind of passed it over the barrel at some point. Venufla avir chavis venitzmes, and it kind of went down. It didn't fall, but I mean, it literally says it fell, but it means it ended up in the airspace, right? Meaning in the airspace of the barrel, and that if you learn hilchos tumantara, so that is something that's tummy in the airspace of the barrel will be in the time of the barrel. So assuming that if you look at Rashi, right, the first line he says that the shoe was tamei midras, that right, the guy was a zov. So the shoe itself was tamei, and it could be metamei other things. It was an avatuma, so it fell into the airspace of the barrel, and it was metamei. So b'osa shah at that moment, amru, they said the hanosi is a midras, noses a truma, v'lo zakodesh. Right, and at that point, they said, okay, no more doing that, no more carrying something that's tamei in your one hand and something that's kodeshim or in the other hand. So the Gemara says, "Wali haki truma nami." So the Gemara asks the obvious question, as we just pointed out, what's the difference between kodesh and truma at that point? So the Gemara says, "Hamani Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya." No, because this is Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya shita. The Amar lo asru ela biyardein uvesvina ukemaisa shahaya. Now, what this literally means is that they didn't asr in the Jordan River in a boat and like the story that happened. Now, with that doesn't necessarily, obviously that has nothing to do with this case. What we're going to quote in a second is a gzera that Chazal made, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya said, since the story happened on the Jordan River and in a boat, that's the only case where the gzera applies. So what we mean to say is that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya holds that whenever they made a gzera based on the Maisa Shahaya, based on a story, they're only going to make the gzera in that exact case. They're not going to extend it elsewhere. So therefore, since the story happened by Kachim, so it is only applicable to Kachim. To Kodesh, it's not applicable to Truma. So my heap, so what's this, you could have just said that. So what's the whole story? What story are we quoting? What are we referencing? Tanya, because we learned in our Braisa, lo yisa adam mei chatos ve'efer chatos ve'avirein beyardin uvesvina. A person shouldn't be carrying either the water of the korban chatos or the dust, I mean, the ashes of the paraduma, right, and carry them in the Jordan River, right, in a boat. You shouldn't stand on one side and throw it to the other side of the river. You shouldn't carry it, right, float it across the water. You shouldn't ride on an animal, and not on your friend's shoulders or whatever. But what you need to have your feet on the ground. I mean, you can't have anything elevated above the ground, right? When you're on a boat, so right, things are elevated. Right? Anything, any similar case, says the Tanakhama in our Braisa, any similar scenario of transporting the mechatas, the stuff of the paraduma, that's no good if your feet are not rooted on the ground. And a bridge doesn't count as if you're suspended in the air, right? Your feet are rooted on the ground. In that case, even though technically you're passing over water, but again, you have to be walking. You can't be elevated. And it doesn't matter, right, whether it's over the Jordan River or any other river. Rechani ben Akavya says, lo asr ela biyardin v'sfina kamaisa shahaya. He says, no, it's only asr in the Jordan River on a boat, exactly like the story happened. So that's where we see that Rechani ben Akavya holds that the gzera that they make has to be exactly like the original story. So my maisa shahaya, so finally we get to what was the actual story. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, maisa ba'adam echa, there's a story by some guy, shai mavir mechadas v'ifr chadas biyardin v'sfina. Sure enough, right, guy, as we have been pointing out, right, guy was carrying the stuff of the paraduma on the Jordan River in a boat, V'nimtza kazayis meis tahuv bekar keisa shel svina. Right, and there was a kazayis. There was enough of a dead body, right, hidden or stuck in the ground, in the, I guess, the floor of the boat, right, and enough. I mean, a kazayis is enough to be matame other things. So it must have been that the water passed over it, was mahel over it. Right, it must have been that that made everything tame. So, but Oza Shah, and at that moment, the Amra, they said, Lo yisa adam mechatas ve'efer chatas ve'avrim be'yardin besvina. So that's what they made the gzera. That's the gzera that they made, and that's the machlokas, whether it's exactly that case or elsewhere. But our case also, I mean, it is only Kodesh, because there's a story that happened with this guy carrying, right, the sandal, right, and the Kodesh wine. So according to the Rechanan and Benikavi, it's only Kodesh and not Truma. Iboy Lehuda has the question, what's the deal with, we're going to ask three questions here, only answer the last one. Sandal Tomei, fine, meaning if it's a Tomei sandal, that's one thing, but Sandal Tomei, no. But what's the deal if, let's say the sandal is Tomei, right? Again, the story was when the sandal was Tomei. But what if it's tar? Chavis pesucha, chavis stuma ma'u. Meaning the case was where the barrel was open. But let's say it's closed and you can't get into the airspace. So avr v'nasa ma'u. And finally, the third question, which we're actually going to answer, right, is let's say you did it. I mean, let's say you, again, we made this gzera and you did it. And you carried it together. So what's it called? So avr v'nasa ma'u. So Rabbi Ila Amar, im avr v'nasa tame, Rabbi Zira Amar, avr v'nasa tar. Meaning that, again, we made it clear not to do it. But let's say you did it. Let's say you did it, and you were very careful not to put the sandal into the airspace of the barrel. So, Machlokes, Rabbi Ila says it's going to be Tamei, regardless. But Rabbi Zera is going to say that it is Tamei. Okay, fine. Kelim ha-nigmarim b'tara. Again, we said if there's a kli that you finish, again, a kli cannot be mekabel tuma until it is actually usable. So, at some point, right, when you finish the kli, let's say you finish making, I don't know, a cup, whatever. So the point when the cup is finished, then it can be mekabel tuma. If a person is careful, right, it's made betahara, as we said, kelim hanigmarim betahara, people are careful to finish the kli to make sure that everything is tahar. So still, we said in the Mishnah, right, you have to dip them in a mikvah for a kachim. So the Gemara just simply says, digamrinu man. Who is the one who's finishing? Right, who's the craftsman here? Who's finishing this kli? Elim with the gemara in chaver. If you tell me it's a tam chacham who finished it, so lamalu l'tefila. So you don't need to dip in the mikvah for kachim, right? For kodesh, right? We assume, right, that he's going to be careful. El the gemara amaretz. But if you tell me that it's an amaretz finished it, so nikmarim betara kari luhu. We called it kalim that are finished in betara when they're pure. Right? Again, amaretz is not going to be careful for that. Why in the world would you assume? How could you say that the kli is finished and everything is tahor, right? Amar doesn't care about that. So Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Olam de Gamrinu Chaver. Really, no, the case is where it's Tamal Chacham, and he is careful about Tuman Tara. Why then would he have to dip in the mikveh before, dealing with Kodesh or whatever? Mishun Tzinura da Amaretz, da Nafal, because, Tzinura da Amaretz, because we're nervous that the spit of an Amaretz, right, may have fallen onto this kli after it was finished. So, again, the spit of a Zov is Metame, that's a Reid in the Araisa. If we're saying that an Amaretz is Sufik Tame Zov, so then that's Midrabanan, perhaps the spit is also, could be legitimate Midrabanan. Okay, fine, either way. But meaning we're nervous that the spit of an Amaretz somehow got on this stuff. The Gemara says, Denafal Amos, when? When did the spit of an Amaretz get on this Kli? Even Mekami Delig Mirei, if it was before that the cup was finished, the Kli was finished, so I'll have Manahu, so it's not a Kli yet, it's not Mekabel Tuma. So Allah Basar Degam Rei, it must have been after it was finished, but you're telling me that a Tamal Chacham is making this Kli, Mizar Zaribu, he's got to be careful. Right? That's the whole point, right? We're saying he finished the Batara, and he's being careful about Tuma Tara. So Gemara says, you're right, La'ola Mekami Degam Rei, really the case is where it's before the Kli was finished, before, let's say, whatever utensil was, before it was finished, isn't it Amakabel Tum at that point? Yeah, but Vidilma Be'idnu Degamrei Adayin Lachai. But maybe at the point when he finished the Kli, the spit was still wet, was still moist, meaning that it was still transmitted to Tuma. So at that point, when the Kli is able to be Amakabel Tuma, right, it still had spit on it. It got there because up until the point it was a Kli, right, the Tamal Chacham wasn't ready, wasn't careful about Tuma Tara because the Kli wasn't Mekabel Tuma, right? So therefore, if some sort of Amaretz happened to sort of spit on it, so then it would be Metamet. If it was still, what's it called? If it's still wet, then when the moment the Kli was finished, so then it would become Tame. So therefore, we're going to need to dip it in a mikveh before, having any Kodesh or Kachim, whatever it is, involved in the with the kli. Okay, so now Gemara points out that tevila in harif shemesh lav, that we had said that all you need to do, when you're telling me that the word goes there, that these kalim need to be dipped in the mikveh before doing them with kodesh, so that's going to be, right, all you need to do is dip it in the mikveh, but you don't actually have to wait until sundown. I mean, we haven't given them the status of, like, actual tumah. Let's say someone actually touches a sharetz or whatever, so he has to wait till sundown, right? So, but apparently what we're not saying that. We're saying that they're just tumah, right? You just say, we'll dip them in the mikveh just to be careful, but you don't have to wait until the sun goes down, right, as if someone normally would if they become tummy. So the Gemara just points out, Mastis and Belok Rabbi Elazar. This is against Rabbi Elazar's Shita. Now, this is going to be a kind of a lengthy proof that Rabbi Elazar holds that you need Harav Shemesh, you need the to wait also for the sun to go down. So just keep that in the back of your mind, that's what we're talking about. That's not because we learned in the Mishnah. Shavuferes shechot chalachatas. Let's say you cut some sort of shavuferes, some sort of tube that you want to put for the mechatas, for either the water, the chatas, or for the paraduma, or let's say maybe the ashes or whatever. So Rabbi Elazar Omer yitbol miad, you need to dip it in the mikvah. Rabbi Yeshua Omer yitame v'achar kach yitbol, you have to make it tame and then dip it in the mikvah. What in the world is going on over here? So basically, the tzedukim, said this is basically to the hotzi liban shel tzedukim, to kind of get to counteract. The tzedukim understood that they assumed that the paraduma could not be done by someone who's a tful yom, meaning someone who was tful yom is someone again who is waiting. Right, he went to the mikveh that day, is waiting for the sun to go down. So the tzedukim say that a paraduma cannot be done by a tful yom. Chazal assume that a tful yom is allowed to be done. To be used for the paraduma, a person who's waiting for this Harav Shemesh thing, so he is allowed to work with the paraduma. And because they wanted to get rid of the tzeduki point of view so much, if you're learning Mishnais and Parah, so the Chazal went to great lengths to make sure, right, that people knew that tzedukim were not correct. Meaning, so therefore, basically, what they wanted to do, anything that was mekabel tumah that they wanted to use for the paraduma, so they would basically make it tame, dip it in the mikvah, and use it before sundown to see, because that's a tful yom, right? Again, when you go to the mikvah, you're waiting for sundown, right? You're still a tful yom, you still have some sort of slight, tiny vestige of your tumah left, so, or whatever, meaning the tumah process is not complete. So Chazal wanted to specifically use those type of kalim for the paraduma to make sure people did not think that a tful yom is no good for the paraduma, just like the tzedukim said. So basically, they would be metameh on purpose. So let's say again. So now back with what we just said. We said if you make some sort of kli, so the shvoferes, a kli to use with the paraduma. So Rabbi Elazar says you dip in the mikvah right away, meaning, i.e., it's tameh. You don't need to be metameh it, right? It's tameh. Dip it in the mikvah. And Rabbi Yehoshua says no, you should be metameh it because the kli is not necessarily tameh inherently. But then put it in the mikvah, and then again that's a harav shemesh, that's a kli that needs waiting for sundown, and you can use it for the paraduma. And we said about this discussion, who's cutting this thing? Who's cutting this utensil? But if you're talking about a talmud chacham, why do you have to dip in the mikvah? Right, what, it doesn't help. Meaning it was never going to be mekabel tumah, right? So meaning everybody would know, right? Talmud chacham is making it. Obviously, we're not. It doesn't make sense that Rabbi Elazar would say just dip it straight in the mikvah. We're not going to be gozer kalim of a talmud chacham that they're tamei, right? Obviously, talmud chacham is going to make sure it's tahar. Right? If you tell me that there's a talmud, so it can't be a talmud chacham. Lam li tefila, you need tefila. So el dechatcha amaretz. It must be that amaretz is the one who cut it. So behalim Rabbi Yeshua yitama v'yitbol. So, but that would make sense on the other way, because why would Rabbi Yeshua say you have to make it tamei? Right, hatame v'kai, right? It's already tame, right? Again, we assume that amaratzim, right? We have the kalim of amaratzim or tame, right? That's what we're talking about, right? We assume that it's tame. So either way, if it's a chaver, so what Rabbi Elazar does make sense, because it wouldn't be tame. What you need to be metame at first. If it's nama aretz, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't make sense, because you don't need to be metame yet. So if Amar Rabbi Shila bar Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel, so olam d'chad al chaver, and we assume that no, actually it's a tame chacham. But Mishum Tsinur of the Amaretz, and again, the same exact concern that we had before, is because of the spit of Amaretz. The Nafal Emas, when did it fall? If you tell me this before you cut it, meaning before it was finished as a kli, so Alav Manahu, it's not a kli, it's not a Makabal Tumah. Alabasa de Chacha, no, it must be that it was after he cut this kli, right? But the problem is, if you tell me it's a Tamachacham, He's careful with the kli. He wouldn't let any of the spit of an amaretz fall in it. So olam demikami delechte. Again, as we said before, right? Really, the case is where the kli, it was the spit fell on the kli before it was finished, and it wasn't yet mekabel tuma. But don't let the chatcha adayin lachahi. But maybe when you finish the kli, when it was cut, so then when it became mekabel tuma, maybe the spit was still wet. So now, again, it's the same, basically the same exact case as we said before, and Bishlam of Rabbi Yeshua. And again, on that case, Rabbi Yeshua says you have to make it tame and you have to dip it in the mikvah. Rabbi Elazar says just dip it in the mikvah straight away. So Bishlam of Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua's sheet that makes sense. That's how you have a hecker. That's how you see, right? That it's vulyom. That's how you're making it against the tzedukim. Why? Because you're being metame it, right? And then you're dipping it in the mikvah. Right, so the Tanan is willing to the Mishnah. Metamen ha'yu as a coin a serif is a para, because they used to be metame the coin who burned the part of the umah. Lohotzi meliven shol tzedukim. Right, so again, they would be metame him the day before, or the day of using the part of the umah. Lohotzi meliven shol tzedukim. Shayu omer b'mur veishem. Shayu ha'ison ases. Because to go against the tzedukim, who said that you needed to have someone who's completely pure, who's someone who already had Harav Shemesh, so they would be actually Bentame, the Kohen, who dealt with the part of the Duma, have him go to the mikvah, right? He's still technically waiting for Harav Shemesh, but that's fine, because we want to get it out of the tzedukim, get it out of the heads of the tzedukim, and say that they actually would not be able to use that. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, I said, that makes sense. Again, so you're being Bentame it, right, and then put it in the mikvah. El Rabbi Elazar, but according to Rabbi Elazar, right, who says you don't have to be metameit. Again, you're talking about a kli of that we're concerned that the amaretz had tuma on it. So you have Bishlama Alma being an Harav Shemesh. If you tell me that Rabbi Elazar requires Harav Shemesh by a kli that we're saying is tamei, so then Haim the Ika Heker the Tzedukim. That's how you know there's a hecker for the Tzedukim. Meaning, if Rabbi Elazar just says stick it in the mikvah, right, it must be that he already holds that a kli who we decided was tameh needs to wait until sundown, and that's when you stick it in the mikvah. You use it beforehand, so you're good to go. Right? That against the tzedukim, right? Ella iamarta be'alma lo bina harav shemesh. But if you tell me you don't really need harav shemesh for a kli, to use a kli for a kli chatas, ma'akir let's do gemika. What kind of hecker is? How is this against the tzedukim? Meaning it's already tahor. Right, as soon as you dip it in the mikvah. Meaning, if Rabbi Elazar holds that these kalim that were concerned for tumah, as we are talking about, right, we have the extra stringency for these kalim, if you tell me that all you need to do is dip in the mikvah, and you don't need to wait till sundown, so what kind of recognition is there, right, against the tzedukim? But if you tell me that Rabbi Elazar holds, as we suggested, Rabbi Elazar holds that you have to wait till sundown, right, when we're dealing with these types of kalim, so then that is against the tzedukim. So that must be his shita. So if you're telling me here again, what we started with, that for the mikvah you need to dip in the mikvah with tevila in harav shemesh lo, that our mishnah says you need to dip these types of kalim where we have the extra stringency by kodesh by mechatos, right? You have to dip in the mikvah, but you don't need wait till sundown. That's against Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar must hold that you have to wait until sundown that you need harav shemesh for these types of kalim. Amar Rav. Rav says not really. Asua katami sheretz. Really, what the Chazal did for this case, right, by the paraduma, they made this kli, this tube, to have tumas sheretz. And therefore, tumas sheretz, right, sheretz, if someone's matami the sheretz, he touches one of the creepy crawling things that are dead, right, he has to go to the mikvah, he needs harav shemesh, so they gave it the status of tumas sheretz, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, right, you can just dip in the mikvah, and it still needs harav shemesh, right, it's not like, it's not similar to our case, where we're careful about other kalim, by Kodesh. The Gemara says, El me'ata, but if that's true, so let's tame Adam. So then it shouldn't be metame other people. Right? If you tell me that these kalim are just tumas sheretz, so tumas sheretz is anything that touches tumas sheretz is a rishon, it's not going to be metame people. So Allah matani, so why does the Braisa say, that anybody who cuts this stuff, the kalim that are used for the paraduma, right, needs to go to the mikvah. So apparently it is metame somebody. So Ella asu ketame mace. The Gemara says, no, really, they made the kli into a tame mace, right, as if it was tame mace. That can be metame people and food. So Gemara says, well, if that's true, well, then, if that's true, then the person should need a full treatment of someone who's tame mace, right, should need sprinkle for the paraduma on the third and seventh day, which is the normal procedure. Allah mitanya, why do we say, but we see that that's not true, right, because we learned that chokho mabila tam tvila, tvila in hazal shlishi shvila, because it made, right, we require the guy who makes this kli to go to the mikveh, but not that he doesn't need sprinkling of the paraduma waters right on the third day and the seventh day. The Gemara says, "Ela asua, but ketami meis b'shvishalo." So you're right. Okay, so they made it as if a person is tami meis, and it's his seventh day, and they can just sprinkle him. Right, and he can just go to the mikveh, and he's good to go. The Gemara says, "Tanya, but one second, my olam luchitcha davar b'para." The Braisa says they didn't. This is making up a tuma. This is like making up stuff, right? They never made stuff up with a paraduma. Right? How could you tell me you got to make it into something that's tummy on the seventh day? That's literally fabrication. Somewhere Abai says, shalom. I mean, it's not that, again, the fabrication is not that you're assuming that it's tummy. The fabrication is you're giving it a status of something that is tummy on the seventh day. Wait, that's not a thing. Either you're tummy mace and you need to wait 7 days and you sprinkle on the third day and the seventh day, or you're not tummy at all, right? You can't make up a tumma that all of a sudden you have a status on the seventh day of your tame mei status. What do you mean? That's not a thing. So Rabbi, shalom amru kordam metame moshav. So this is a little bit different. They never said, meaning when we say that people, when we say that Chazal didn't make up a tumah, what they meant was they didn't make up a new tumah. And they didn't say, i.e., Abai is giving an example of something they didn't say. Chazal didn't make up a tumah. When we say they didn't make up a tumah by paraduma, they never said something like a kardum, which is an axe or a digging type of utensil, is metame moshav, can be tame mishkav and moshav. One of the ways that something can be metame, right, if someone's like a seyazov, or a metzora, they can be metame what's called mishkav and moshav. Anything they sit on becomes tame. However, that only applies to things that are normally sat on, like a bed or a chair, whatever. So an axe, no one sits on an axe. No one sits on a shovel. So that's what Chazal didn't do. They didn't make up a completely new halacha of tumah. Like in the Tanya, as we learned, because we learned the Braisa, that Hayoshev ala kli, someone who sits on a kli, so yachol kafa sa v'yoshev aleha, meaning someone who sits on a kli is metame, meaning that's the concept of tumas mishkav and moshav. Someone who's a zov sits on a kli, that kli is tame, right? So yachol, you might have thought kafa sa v'yoshev aleha, tarkov v'yoshev aleha. You might have thought that applies to even sa and tarkov are measurements, but what it means here is a barrel, let's say, that are those sizes. You might have thought even, let's say, a barrel of those sizes, that counts also. The yehei tame, that should also be tame. So tame lomar, therefore the pasuk says, ayoshev ala kli, asher yashav alav yitma, right? If you sit on a kli that is sat upon, right? Misha miyushav, miyuchad let yeshiva yotzezesha, omrim lo, amo v'nasa malachto, right? It's only misha yushav, miyushav tefillah, something, misha miyuchad let yeshiva, something that is specific for sitting, excluding something that you would say to it, get up and do your work, meaning something you don't actually sit on. So Chazal never made up a tumah, but Chazal could have decided that something is tumah on the seventh day of its tumah, right? If it is technically relevant and within the realm of that concept of tumah. Okay, we're going to stop here just because it's Erev Shabbos, and we'll go back there from the Tidats tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.